Well, since we have a special show thinking about Harry Chartiers, who started coming up country a long time ago, well, I thought I'd start out with a request that his son made. I thought there would be no better way to start the show. So here's a song that Tim chose to launch our show tonight.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Then came the day at the bottom of the mine when a timber cracked and men started crying. Miners were praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathed their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
And with all of his strength he gave a mighty shove. Then a miner yelled out, "There's a light up above!" And 20 men scrambled from a would-be grave. Now there's only one left down there to save, Big John. With Jackson timbers they started back down. Then came that rumble way down in the ground, and the smoke and gas belched out of that mine. Everybody knew it was the end of the line for Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Now they never reopened that worthless pit. They just placed a marble stand in front of it. These few words are written on that stand: at the bottom of this mine lies a big, big man. Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Well, my baby works in a hot dog stand, making them hot dogs as fat as she can. Up steps, the cat yells, "Don't be slow," and get me two hot dogs ready to go.
Hot dog!
She's my baby.
Hot dog!
Drives me crazy.
Hot dog!
I don't mean maybe, well, you ought to see my baby at the hot dog stand. Well, in the cool of the evening when the sun goes down, all the chicks and the cats all are gathering around. They order hot dogs and red soda pop, and head down the road to a hip cat hop.
Hot dog!
She's my baby.
Hot dog!
Drives me crazy.
Hot dog!
Don't mean maybe, well, you ought to see my baby at the hot dog stand. She closes up the shopping and we lose herself. At a hip cat hop in a crazy way, we're doing the bop till the break of day.
Hot dog!
She's my baby.
Hot dog!
Drives me crazy.
Hot dog!
I don't mean baby, well, you ought to see my baby at the hot dog stand.
Hot dog!
baby at the hot dog stand.
Rolling down that eastern seaboard, I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead of it, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed a Jimmy in a wine. I've been a-passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. But it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some of the guys. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. ICC is the checking on down the line. Well, I'm a little overweight and my logbook's way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge all the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight. Well, my rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from her stack and that smoke's a-blowing black as coal.
Daggone!
Hey.
Who cleaned this place up? Hey, is this the right place? I heard there was a giant birthday party for Harry Shartier here.
Somebody told me it was I needed to come up from Mississippi because it was a giant party and we was going to have a good time here. And I drove all the way cross country here, put my truck in the fair. Who are you?
Well, CB, you do not recognize me, CB.
Oh, yeah, I recognize you. The last time I... Wait a minute. Last time I saw you, I better not say when that was. Were you the one that put the curtains in here?
Yeah, redecorated this place.
I figured it looked like it had a woman's touch. Last time I was in here, it was great. It looked like the back end of a truck stop, and I was comfortable. And now, daggone, I'm going to have to scrub my shoes off when I come here.
That's right, and take a shower.
So where is Mr. Shartier here?
Well, we're here celebrating all the great things that he did in his life. And
in his life? What do you...
He just took his truck and drove on out of here.
What are you telling me?
Well, we don't have old Harry to do our show anymore.
Now, wait a minute. Nah, that ain't right. He's just in jail. Last time I heard, he's in jail down in Alabama.
Well, this could be true. You know, there are a lot of rumors about
he done got thrown in jail. You just got your information wrong. That's the problem.
This could be
the
truth.
You're supposed to be the numbers lady, but you ain't adding them up correctly.
You know how rumors, they get around. You just never can tell.
So what kind of rumors you heard? What did he do to get thrown in jail?
Oh, I'm not quite sure.
Well, I can think of about 100 things he could do to get thrown in jail.
What's your very best guess? What do you think he did?
Well, it could have something to do with giving a waitress in a truck stop a hard time about berry pie. That'd get him thrown in jail.
That could be. That could be.
Paying no attention to speed limits. That'd get him thrown in jail.
Yeah.
And, I think playing new country music, that'd get him thrown in jail.
Most certainly.
Sure.
Most
I used to
certainly.
Tell him, I come here, you know, you don't want to play any of that new country stuff. Anybody want to listen to that anyway. That stuff, all it is sound, one sounds like another. You know, they just get them a guitar and go strumming on it, and daggone, it's like they got clones or something.
That's right. It's classic all the way.
Classic old country.
Yep.
You got, so, now that we got curtains and we got carpeting and we got ashtrays, and oh, son of a gun, look at that. We even got us a whiteboard here.
Yeah,
a clock.
Yep. I know, oh, I know. It's a
real
nice
place. What are these
black
things back here? I mean, they used to have posters on them. Oh, I don't know the place. I couldn't even find a place to park my truck. But son of a gun, so now that you remodeled and all this is new country music, you got anything old in here?
I do believe
was it out with old and with the new?
Oh, it's all. We still love classic
country
here.
You know what he used
here?
To like? He used to like truck driving music. Of course.
Of course he did.
So what you got on? You got
You mean like C.W. McCall maybe?
You know, I remember this song that he and I used to, you know, when I'd come in here, remember that time that I brought all the load of Christmas presents for all the kids? And,
oh, that's
remember the time that I brought all the wrappers? We were going to rehabilitate them at the wrapper rehabilitation
I center. Do remember that.
Well, you know, we would come in here, and he loved playing truck driving music. He loved this song called "Girl on the Billboard." You think
Girl on the Billboard? I bet I have that right here,
man,
handy.
Man, I'd love to hear that. I ain't heard that in a long time. How about putting that on there?
I can do that right now. Here you go.
Oh, is a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy Holland freight from Chicago to St. Louis, Lord, I see her every day. A double-clutching weasel like me can hardly ever get a girl to look at him that away. Smiling like a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Oh, I want a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. I bet it wouldn't take her very long to be gone if someone would pull a dirty trick and take her towel away. I slowly get her down to 20, that's how many wrecks I see there every day. I was by the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Billboard in the field near the big old highway. I guess I'm getting bolder cause I'd rather kiss and hold her than just keep looking at her every day. At 4:45 coffee drinking eating time gives the shimmies while I wake up the artist that painted the display of the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Printer said the girl wasn't real. Better get the hell on my way. On Route 66 from the billboard to Chicago, you'll find tiny pieces of my heart scattered every which way. Shattered by the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway.
Dave Dudley to bring us up to just about 5 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is Coming Up Country, and I'm the general manager of Raven Radio, Ken Fate. We're here tonight with a tribute to the founder of Coming Up Country, Harry Chartier, passed away recently, and we want to share some memories about Harry and his show and his life. And we're going to also see about taking some phone calls to help you share your stories of Harry. So the first thing we have to do is make sure that the equipment works, and so that's what we're going to do right now. Greg Horton is on the line with a memory. Greg, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, well, that's just superb. So let me tell everybody that over the next hour or so, if you would like to share a memory, please feel free to give a call here at the station, 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877, and we'll do our best to get you on the air to share a memory or give a tip of the country hat to all the folks that know and love Harry. So, Greg, thank you so much for calling. You have a memory.
I do. We were close family friends with Harry, and I always did a couple of trips to the desert with him and looked for arrowheads and always, just remember his good attitude and always a fun guy to be around no matter what. And one of the biggest things is we always went king salmon fishing during the summer. So I always remember him hooting and hollering and catching lots of king salmon. And he was never shy about making sure to jerk on your line once or twice a trip to make you think you had a fish.
Did he? kind of the joker aspect. I got to ask. Was Harry a herring or a hoochie fella?
He was a herring guy.
All right. And you said pretty good with the fish on the line, huh?
Yeah.
So how many times did you fall for when he yanked on the line?
Just about every time, because you don't want to miss a king salmon.
No, jump up and get at it. Hey, Greg, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Oregon right now.
Okay, well, great to have you with us.
All right, thank you very much, and a tip of the country hat to Harry. I know he's out there having fun and catching king salmon. So.
Amen. All right, well, have a good night. Thanks, Greg.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to call in and share a memory, the number is 747-5877. We would be happy to have you. Here's a tune from Patti Loveless.
She does.
Patty Loveless. So this is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. You're listening to Coming Up Country, a show that was started, you know, oh so many years ago is what I'll say. But I've got to ask you, Miss Deborah, I've got to find out, do you know what year did Harry start the show?
No, I have no idea. I listened to it for a few years before I stepped in, and I know it had been going strong before that, so I'm not sure.
Well, Billy Bob Prendergast is in the studio. We might chat with him a little bit later on, see if he knows. I'm going to guess it was the early to mid-90s. And we've got another guest in the studio right now. Do you have any idea when the show started?
Damn, son. What's that thing in your chin? Man, it looks like a beaver pelt.
Well, that's just my beard there.
No, that's a beard?
That's a beard. And
When'd you grow that thing?
Well, it grew me.
Man, if you grew that in Mississippi, that'd be 10 to 20.
The beard started, and then I grew into it.
Well, that'd be 20 to life.
Well, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you, your source of music is pretty good tonight.
Well,
Who? Numbers Lady been helping you out?
Numbers Lady helped me out. That was Patty Loveless, and I think we've got a little bit of Tanya Tucker coming up. And
Tanya Tucker, man, that's good.
Might be some Willie Nelson a little bit later on as well.
Man, hurried like that. I can't believe it. Numbers Lady said that he's done passed on the big truck tops in the sky. That can't be right. He's got to be done throwed in jail somewhere.
Well, we're here to honor him one way or the other.
And wherever it is, we know he's playing country music.
Absolutely. CB, do you know when this Coming Up Country show began?
I tell you, the first time I rolled into town was in 1993, and Harry Shartire was here in the radio station drinking beer, raising cane, playing good old country music. He didn't play that new stuff. He didn't like it much.
Okay, we're narrowing it down then. It's 93 or before.
93
yep,
or before.
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, do you have a memory to share maybe with us?
Well, I'll tell you. You know that the time that we rehabilitated the rappers. You remember that one?
Oh, the rappers that.
Well, you know, Harry. You know, I don't spend much time here. So what Harry was telling me, I said, you know, you living up there in that island, there's only 9,000 people. I ain't nothing to do. What do you do up there to keep yourself busy? And he said, hey, CB, we got ourselves a rapper rehabilitation center here. I said, rapper rehabilitation? Damn, that's a money-making scheme if I ever heard of one. And I was down in L.A. at the time and said, man, there's rappers everywhere. And so I just went and got myself a truck full. A truck full of rappers. Mm-hmm. And they wasn't gum wrappers, and they wasn't candy bar wrappers. They was rapper wrappers. And I said, okay, fellas, we're going to make ourselves $1 million, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to go up to Sitka, Alaska, and Harry Shartire has got an idea how you can go up there and make $1 million. All you have to do is believe it's true and get in the back of my truck. We got them in. I locked the door and put a padlock on them. And then once I got them in there, they stuck. We put that sucker in the ferry and come up here, and I said, all right, Harry, I got you a truck full of rappers. How do we rehabilitate them?
And how?
He said, CB, it ain't rappers. It's raptors. I said,
oh, no.
What's a raptor? I don't know what a raptor is. Is that a rapper with a T in the middle or what? He said, no, CB, that's like owls and eagles and vultures and things like that. And I said, no, I ain't got no owls or vultures in the back of my truck. I've got rappers, and they's pretty ear tig. I ain't fed them for about 7 days.
CB, that's quite a memory. And if you have your own memory that you'd like to share, 747-5877, please feel free to call, and we'll put you on the air, and you can share your memory. I've got a memory coming up, and I think Billy Bob Prendergast has a memory coming up, and we might even get a memory out of Miss Deborah. So stay tuned. We've got lots of memories and music coming up.
And the Delta Dawn was called in by someone who remembers listening to Coming Up Country and Harry when he was our host, and she asked for this song.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today? Take you to his mansion in the sky. She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby. All the folks around Brownsville say she's crazy, 'cause she walks downtown with a suitcase in her hand, looking for a mysterious dark-haired man. In her younger days, they called her Delta Dawn, the prettiest one you ever laid eyes on. Then a man of low degree stood by her side, promised her he'd take her for his bride. Delta Dawn, what's that flower? To his mansion in the sky. Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was a meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
Tanya Tucker, a favorite of Harry's and a favorite of Coming Up Country's. It's about 10 minutes after 7. I'm going to share a memory. I was the program director of Raven Radio for, 10 years or so, and had the honor and the pleasure of training Harry to be on the radio. And, boy, he did radio for years and years, and was one of the just one of the best hosts there could ever be when it came to playing a great show and telling a great story and making everybody feel welcome. And I've got to say, it didn't start off that way. Harry was one of the least comfortable people I ever sat in the studio with for the very first radio show, which we call here the first flight. And when it was Harry's turn to be on the air for the very first time, in the middle of the show, he got done talking on the air, and his voice was kind of tight, and he started the song, had to look around for a while to figure out what button to push, and he got the music on, and he looked up at me, and he said, "Ken, I've had my hand inside of a man's chest, massaging his heart to keep him alive as an EMT, and doing this show is more nerve-wracking than that." And at the end of the show, he said, "Ken, this is going to have to be a whole lot more fun if I'm going to keep doing it." And he did keep doing it. He did the next show, and he did the next show, and he did the next show. And he finally said, "It's a whole lot more fun." And he kept doing it for years and years and years, and he counted each and every show that he did. And he started off the show with what number it was. And he got better and better and better and better and became one of the best there ever was. Billy Bob Prendergast, you're in the studio. You're you've flown in from Buffalo. And welcome to Raven Radio.
And better yet, I flew in out of Buffalo.
And Buffalo Flyer.
Yeah.
You know, it's been, what, 15 years since you lived here? You were the engineer for Raven Radio when I moved here in 1990. Great friend of Harry's.
Been a while. 15 years.
Well, any memories to share of Harry?
Well, you know, hearing you tell that story again, I got to say, it was a lot of bunk, what Harry told you. The guy couldn't even spell EMT. Yeah, he was funny that way. But he had a heart, you know, big as gold. No, Harry, we jibed at each other every now and then about each other's shows, because I did a little more loose goose.
You did the rhythm section on Wednesday afternoons, 2 to 4.
Yeah, And my brother Tim and I did a late night show on Friday nights when we could, you know, when we weren't too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry would tease me on air on occasion about my show, the rhythm section, which was all over the map. And I would consequently tease Harry about his show. But I'd never really actually met Harry, other than, you know, in our training program here at Raven Radio. And, you know, I taught the FCC rules and that sort of thing. And then while I was in the process of remodeling my house up on Edgecombe Drive, Harry, being the building inspector here in town, found it appropriate, rather than picking on me on the air, he condemned my house.
And how did he go about doing that?
Well, he surrounded it in caution tape, and he put a little building inspection sticker on my door, and he wrote in the notes comment, you know, box, Billy Bob, I haven't been in your house, but if it's anything like your radio show, I'm condemning it right here and now. And that's kind of how I met Harry. It was kind of... And right then and there, pretty much, we become fast friends. And he was just one of the most awesome people, the biggest hearts I've ever known in my life, which is saying a lot. I've met a lot of people in my days. And yeah, Harry was he kind of set the mark, you know. I could never say enough about the guy.
Well, there's going to be a tribute to Harry's life. It's coming up on Saturday, and a celebration of life for Harry will be held at the main shelter of Halibut Point Rec Saturday at 4. Please bring a potluck dish or a beverage and a memory or two to share as we remember the life of a great father, friend, and neighbor, and radio host. And if you'd like to share a memory tonight, we're here for that, 747-5877. We'd love to hear from you. And speaking of love, Harry loved Willie Nelson.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have, and maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I made you feel second best,
you did.
Girl, I'm sorry I was blind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. And maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I
told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. But you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Tell me that your sweet love hasn't died. And give me one more chance to keep you satisfied. I'll keep you satisfied.
Hauling chickens on the flatbed out of Wiggins, and we'd spent all night on the uphill side of 37 miles of hell called Wolf Creek Pass, which is up on the Great Divide. And we was sitting there sucking toothpicks and drinking knee-highs and onion soup mix, and I says, Earl, let's mail a card to Mother and then send them chickens on down the other side. Yeah, let's give them a ride.
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side.
Well, Earl put down his bottle, mashed his foot down on the throttle, and then a couple of boobs with 1,000 cubes and a 1948 Peterbilt screamed alive. We woke up the chickens. We roared up off of that shoulder, spraying pine cones, rocks, and boulders, and put 400 head of them Rhode Island Reds and a couple of burnt-out roosters on the line. Look out below, 'cause here we go.
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide.
Well, we commenced truckin', and them hens commenced a cluckin'. Then Earl took out a match and scratched his pants and lit up the unused half of a dollar cigar and took a puff. Says, my, ain't this pretty up here? I says, Earl, this hill can spill us. You better slow down, you gon' kill us. Just make one mistake and it's the pearly gates for them 85 crates of USDA-approved cluckers. You want to hit second?
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, truckin' on down the other side.
Well, Earl grabbed on the shifter and he stabbed her into fifth gear, and then the chromium-plated, fully illuminated, genuine accessory shift knob come right off in his hand. I says, you want to screw that thing back on, Earl? He was trying to thread it on there when the fire fell off of his cigar and dropped on down, sort of rolled around, and then lit in the cuff of Earl's pants and burned a hole in his sock. Yeah, sort of set him right on fire. I looked on out of the window and I started counting phone poles going by at the rate of 4 to the 7th power. Well, I put 2 and 2 together and added 12 and carried 5. I'm up with 22,000 telephone poles an hour. I looked at Earl and his eyes was wide, his lip was curled and his leg was fried, and his hand was froze to the wheel like a tongue to a sled in the middle of a blizzard. I says, Earl, I'm not the type to complain, but the time has come for me to explain that if you don't apply some brake real soon, they're going to have to pick us up with a stick and a spoon. Well, Earl reared back, cocked his leg and stepped down as hard as he could on the brake, and the pedal went clear of the floor and stayed right there on the floor. And it says it's sort of like stepping on a plum. Well, from there on down, it just wasn't real pretty. It was Hairpin County and Switchback City. One of them looked like a can full of worms. Another one looked like malaria germs. Right in the middle of the whole damn show was a real nice tunnel, now wouldn't you know. The sign says clearance to the 12-foot line, but the chickens was stacked to 13-9. Well, we shot that tunnel at 110 like gas through a funnel and eggs through a hen. We took that top row of chickens off slicker and the scum off a Louisiana swamp. Went down and around and around and down. We run out of ground at the edge of town, bashed into the side of the feed store in downtown Pagosa Springs.
All right, well, it looks like we're back. A little Wolf Creek Pass there. That was CB. What'd you think of that?
Man, I've been to downtown Pagosa Springs.
So have I.
Yeah, there's a great truck stop and a bar. I seen a gal in that truck stop looked a lot like you. Did you have a prior life before you come up here to teach?
I'm not talking.
Before you come up to teach calculus and algebra and geometry and trigonometry and trigonometrics and diametrics and what else you teach over there?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. I had one of my students said, "Yeah, we heard that you used to be a card counter in Vegas," and I said, "I'm not."
I knew I liked you from the first moment I met you.
The numbers lady.
The numbers lady.
Well, numbers lady, do you have a memory to share?
Well, yeah, actually, the very first time I was ever on the air was with Harry at his show. I used to always call up and make requests, and he said, well, come on down and just be on the show with me some night. And so I brought my kids, because he said, oh, bring the kids along, too. So we just chose all the music. I pulled out every record that I recognized that my dad had played for me when I was a kid, and he put it on the air, and we just sat and chatted, and the kids got to talk on the radio, and it was just great, and that's where we got started.
Did you find that to be kind of exceptional, that he would just say, hey, you want to come on down and be on the air?
Yeah, it was a complete surprise, and I just didn't know what to expect, but of course Harry just makes you feel so comfortable that we just came in and sat down and just had a great old time. He was just great and so good with the kids, so they were all just excited to be here, and they were choosing songs about animals and all sorts of stuff.
Miss Deborah, what did you like about his show?
I think he was so good at just making everyone feel like they were just a good old friend of his, because I think that's just how he felt about everybody. We were just all part of his family, and it felt like that every time you turned on the radio on Friday and heard that. And he'd just take you through memory lane with the music and just made you feel like home, even if you were real far away from home. That's how he made you feel.
Well, you know he was just flirting with you. You know,
that was Harry. I always wondered about that.
He didn't know you had any talent. He didn't know if you knew what you were talking about.
But he knew he was good looking, so that caught his eye, no doubt.
Yeah, you had a nice voice, and that was good enough for Harry.
Well, he invited me to be on the radio, too.
Yeah, well, you know, he made mistakes. You know, he didn't like my show. That's two mistakes, like right there.
So are you ready for the big secret?
Oh, I don't know, but I'll give it a go.
Okay. Since old Harry has now gone to the big truck stop in the sky, I'm thinking maybe I have to disclose my other persona. What you think?
Wow. Well, before you do that, CB, I want to know one thing.
And what's that?
What does CB stand for?
Country boy. What else?
I won $20.
Damn, sir. No, that $20, I get 10 of it, because I done gave you the answer. So pay up.
Ken? Oh, thank you.
I figured it. He ain't got no money either. It's like a shark tire. He never had any money. He's always fleecing it out of my wallet.
Hey. all right. I'll buy you a lemonade.
A lemonade with Jack Daniels in it. Man, I knew you was a good guy.
Yeah, I'm all right.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share a memory of Harry Chartier.
Oh, please.
I've never, ever told my alter ego. So as people may know, CB is a made-up fictional person. And so I'm none other than Jay Sweeney, your finance director in the city and borough of Sitka here.
They haven't hired you yet?
No. I can't believe it.
I don't believe it.
For all these years, yes, CB has been my alter ego. And so I want to share a memory about how CB came to life, which I think speaks everything to what everybody else has talked about Harry and the spirit and the indomitable spirit he had. I arrived here in Sitka on the 19th of December of 1992, just 6 days before Christmas. And I started to work at the city and borough, and then, like other employees, you come to work. I had a place to stay. So you come to work, you go home, people say hi, and there were only a couple of people that thought, wow, Christmas time is coming up. I wonder if this new guy in the city has any place to go on Christmas Day. So who do you think would be the one who would ask?
Harry.
Two people. Ray Majeski, Harry Chartier.
Ray
Harry
Majeski.
Made sure I had something to do over the Christmas holidays. And after we got to know each other, and he invited me over, I met Tim and Susan and Mary. And you remember, Harry comes, says, I want to take you over the house and fill you full of some potato chowder. Remember Harry's famous potato chowder?
Oh,
I'm
going to
fill you full of some potato chowder. So he came over, had a great night. We had a bottle of wine, talked. And he said, you know, are you interested in being on the radio? I suppose. Well, what kind of music you like? And out of the blue, I said, truck driving music. I don't know what just popped out of my mouth. I don't know. I don't like truck driving music in particular. But I said, how about truck driving music? He said, great. Let's do a show about truck driving music. So as the plan unfolded, we talked about how in the early days of radio, there used to be like a vaudeville act where you would have a straight guy and a clown who would play together one off the other. And the more we talked about it, and there might have been a bottle of beer or two involved.
Let me guess. You guys couldn't decide who was going to be the clown.
Yeah, well, it went along. But as the act worked out, we got together and we decided we would do a truck driving show. And so I would come on and I would be the clown, and Harry would be the straight guy. And we would try to reenact the old days of radio with a clown versus a straight guy. And that was... The Emperor calls. Oh, my goodness. Never have your cell phone ready to go when you're in the radio station. But Harry and I then, that was the start of CB and Harry that went on for probably the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
And so that's my story to share. But I would tell you one thing. Harry gave, and the one thing I remember about Harry, he gave freely of himself without ever any thought of being repaid. And that was just the person. If you needed it, you got it. And he was such a loving, giving person. Who else would take a new person into the city and make sure that they felt comfortable but Harry Chartier? A wonderful friend, and I miss him greatly. Miss him greatly, greatly, greatly.
Yeah.
And so I know, though, he's somewhere listening to this and saying, damn, son, you need to play more truck driving music. And I'm sure we got one or two more
quit
before the end of the night.
Quit jabbering.
Quit jabbering and play music.
On that note, we're going to go to Hank.
I think so.
CB, Jay, whatever your name is.
Hank said, quit jabbering, play the music, Billy Bob.
I've got a Humpty Dumpty heart. Drop it and broke it apart. All the king's horses, all the king's men could never put it together again. 'Cause when I gave to you my heart, you said that we must part. That was my doom. My heart went boom. I got a Humpty Dumpty heart. Now a heart is a fragile thing. When dropped it won't bounce or ring. It ain't no joke, 'cause when it's broke, no love song will it sing. I've got a Humpty Dumpty heart. You dropped it and broke it apart. All the king's horses, all the king's men could never put it together again. 'Cause when I gave to you my heart, you said that we must part. That was my doom, my heart went boom, I got a Humpty Dumpty heart. I didn't think you were that sort when I handed you my heart. You got it on a platter, but you let it shatter my Humpty Dumpty heart. I've got a Humpty Dumpty heart. You dropped it and broke it apart. All the king's horses, all the king's men could never put it together again. 'Cause when I gave to you my heart, you said that we must part. That was my doom. My heart went boom. I got a Humpty Dumpty heart.
Of heartbreak, lost love, loneliness, memories of your caress, so divine. I wish you were mine again, my dear. I'm on the sea of tears, sea of heartbreak.
We were so proud of this song, weren't we, Mo?
Yeah. Yeah, the minute I heard this song, I said, Joe, we're going to end up having to put a dress on. And once you put a dress on, you never get over it. Well, people don't forget it. I hate it.
Not only that, we did this great video, and Mo did put on a dress. All his cowboy buddies, they thought, man, he's sick. He's sick. Well, then we shipped that video. We won the American Association Video of the Year. Then we shipped that video to London, England.
Right.
Who? Then there was a guy over there that we've all always called him a peckerhead.
Yeah.
Saw this video.
Oh, Boy George. Yeah.
Boy George. Yeah. And he sued us, didn't he, Mo?
He sued us, and we had to pay him a bunch of money.
And you know what? Mo and I have vowed, if ever we hear that the fabulous Boy George has ever come to the famous, world famous Billy Bob's of Texas, what are we going to do, Mo?
We're going to gather up and kick his ass.
Yes! Yes! Right here, Billy Bob!
was a shame. It was a man dressed like a woman, and he had a boy's name. Well, I heard it on the radio while I was in the tub. Now, Joe, what in the world is this thing they call the Culture Club? Well, it's some old boy from England, Mo, and he's making $1 million. Joe, we'll never make $1 million driving these old trucks. Too many nights of drinking, losing football bets. Lately, we do anything to get us out of debt. Where's the dress? Give me them high-heel shoes. Where's the dress? We'll be money-making fools. We might shut the honky-tonks down, cause a few arrests. When it comes to money, tell me where's the dress? Well, I'll hire me a nurse to tote my purse, and I'll keep it full of beer. Yeah, and I'll have me a gal to drive my truck and one to tease my hair. We can still go fishing, wear our old blue jeans. When it comes to showtime, we'll be country queens. Where's the dress? Give me them high-heel shoes. Where's the dress? We'll be money-making fools. We might shut the honky-tonks down, cause a few arrests. When it comes to money, tell me where's the dress? Where's the dress?
Hey, let's get on down to Walmart so you can get some lipstick and some root.
When we do this thing up right and get some of them ostrich plumes. Where's the dress?
You don't reckon they make a pink pump in a size 12, do you?
I don't know.
Where's the dress?
I can see it now, Boy Joe and Boy Mo and the Grand Ole Opry.
I don't think so. Old man Roy Acuff passed away just thinking about it.
Where's the dress? You don't think that old boy shaves his legs, do you, Joe?
Well, I don't know, Mo, but it would take a double-wide Ford bush hog to get all the wool off of us.
Where's the dress? Boy, I hope we don't have to get one of them operations. Boy, that would hurt.
What are you talking about, Mo?
Where's the dress?
You're gonna look mighty sweet in a pair of them pink pantyhose.
No. All right.
What are you talking about? What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Operation.
Mo and Joe, where's the dress? If you have a memory you'd like to share, we're here to honor the life of Harry Chartier. He was the founder of Coming Up Country. As near as we can tell, 1992 or 1993, and we're happy to be able to take your phone call and put you on the air, or we can just relay something if you'd rather not be on the air, 747-5877, or if you're outside of Sitka, 1-800-478-5877 is the number to call. I was talking to Harry's son Tim today, and one of the things about Harry's show, one of the reasons that it was so great, besides the fact that he just connected with people, is Miss Deborah was talking about, are the great music that he's played, much of which we've shared tonight, is the amount of preparation that Harry put into each and every program that he produced. Hours of evaluating the previous show. He recorded every show,
yep,
and he listened back to it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And then he planned the next show about what the tempo, the character, the feeling.
Have you ever seen, I mean, the stars? You remember those?
Oh, this,
he
yes,
etched every single one of his CDs. Harry had the best collection. He brought in cases and cases. And I was asking Ken, this is Phineas here for all you out there who don't recognize the voice. I was asking Ken if the Case Logic cases were still here, because Harry had, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 double-sided CD cases.
And hundreds.
And he had the most intricate cataloging system. So we have our own cataloging system here, and it's country, and there's different kinds of country, and it's old-timey, and it's country this and country that. And then Harry would take it down, and he put this asterisk thing on that had, I don't know, 8. It looked like elven runes.
It did. And carved into the plastic.
Yes.
In the lower corner of the CD case.
And were you ever able to decipher them?
Well, he showed me once and told me, but it was a 10-minute conversation.
Right.
And it was all him talking and me nodding. And by the end, it was more than I could absorb and retain.
I know.
And so we actually have program director Rebecca LaGuire and Susan, Harry's daughter Susan, they're trying to create a key to this code system that Harry created for the country library, mm-hmm. of his own CDs, which are incorporated into the library here. So there, when you pull out CDs, many of them have this code etched into the CD mm-hmm. case. And we're going to put that key up on the wall for the future generations.
That's awesome. Because it had what the flavor was, what the tempo was. You know.
Yep, there was a mark of you know, if it was a love song or if it was a tearjerker or mm-hmm. All kinds of different music that he played. And he did love the tearjerkers.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he was I was able to join Harry for the 100th show, the centennial show of Coming Up Country.
What an honor.
I know. I thought so, too. And I was a little surprised because, you know, I mean, Harry was Harry. But the one thing about Harry was so gracious. I was listening to the tape today, and he was gracious, and you were always the best person. My fabulous friend, Phineas.
Yes.
My best friend, Phineas. I'm just up here with Phineas, and it was just you and Harry. And that was one of the just quintessential pieces of Harry. And he let me play a ton of Dead. You know, I mean,
on it was Coming Up Country.
On Coming Up Country. I was like, okay, so, you know, what are we going to do? And I listened. I came into the tape midway through, and there was a Dead song. And it was out to Billy Bob. And then we played El Paso because Dead does some country. And I was like, okay, so Harry let me throw a couple of country tunes in. And then I listened to it to the beginning of the tape. And the first song on the centennial show of Harry's show was like just some, I can't even remember. It was like, I think it was New Speedway Boogie. Like, don't dominate the rap, Jack. And it was just like full on psychedelic Dead, had nothing to do with country. So not only was he gracious, but he was, you know, welcoming to all them tie-dyed hippie folks.
Very accepting. Yes. Very, and, you know, I think I remember seeing Harry in a tie-dye T-shirt once or twice.
That's good to
know. I think it was from the reggae.
Roots and Rhythms.
Roots and Rhythms, yep, Wednesday nights, 8 to 10, years and years ago, C-Dub hosts at that time. And at that time during the marathons, there would often be a reggae crew that would come together to surge in and support reggae.
Yeah.
Because it was the only reggae show. And it's, by the way, back now, thanks to Dave, Wednesday nights, 8 to 10. And it was the only show, and Harry was always at that reggae party.
Yeah. I do remember that, too. I think he used to put on a little Rasta hat, too.
Yes, he did.
He'd sport the colors. He'd sport the colors.
And the I think the hat that I saw Harry wear most was I think they're called a Greek fisherman's cap, mm-hmm. a gray version mm-hmm. of that. They're mm-hmm. often black, but he wore a gray version.
Gray wool.
I think that's how I remember seeing him. And often the gray vest, the woolen vest
sort of thing.
And Carhartt, you know, just pictures in my mind.
Nice. Yeah.
What song did you bring?
Well, you know, I come from southern Idaho, and that's country land.
It's country.
We did grow up in country. And Willie Nelson was one of my all-time family favorites. We used to do the Willie Nelson shuffle when we were driving down the road. And I was brought up on Willie Nelson and Ray Charles, and when I was listening to that 100th show, we had a duet here from Ray and Willie, and it's Seven Spanish Angels.
He looked down into her brown eyes and said, say a prayer for me. She threw her arms around him, whispered, God will keep us free. They could hear the riders coming. He said, this is my last fight. If they take me back to Texas, they won't take me back alive. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
She reached down and picked the gun up that lay smoking in his hand. She said, "Father, please forgive me. I can't make it without my man." And she knew the gun was empty, and she knew she couldn't win. But her final prayer was answered when the rifles fired again. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home. All right, y'all, help me now.
There were seven Spanish angels
at the altar,
of the sun.
Oh, I believe
they were praying for the lover.
Yeah, it was
in the valley of the gun.
Well.
When the battle stopped and smoked me,
there was
thunder on the front.
Oh, yeah.
And seven Spanish angels.
Ray Charles and Willie Nelson, brought in by Phineas. Thank you, Phineas. And we've got somebody that's called in. And Dennis Girardo, you're on the air with us.
Hey, boys. It's nice to talk to you guys.
Hey, it sure is great to hear your voice. Dennis, yeah. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Juneau, our nation's capital.
Hey, too far away. Dennis.
I wanted to talk real quick about another part of Harry that just irritated the hell out of us all. He was part of a group of us that went hunting over at Fred's Creek every year. And the late, great Bruce Horton and Billy Bob and Dirk and I and a few other people. And that guy would mosey around the cabin most of the day, and we'd be out there for hours, and he'd wander out for 2 hours and shoot a deer and bring it back. And it just irritated the heck out of all of us. They seemed to sort of, you know, they knew what a sweet guy he was, and they'd just kind of come to him, I think.
No, but, he told me, Dennis, about 6 months ago, he told me he bought those deer.
I believe it. I believe it, man.
Hey, Dennis, have you been able to listen to the show over there streaming?
Most of it, yeah. I did part of it. Dirk White texted me from Atlanta and said, "Get on the radio. They're doing the show."
Great. Well, I'm glad that you brought Dirk up because we've got a memory coming up from Dirk as well. We're going to play that right now, and then we'll be back with another memory from Billy Bob. Dennis, thanks so much for calling.
You bet. Thanks, guys. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. Dirk's out of town right now, but we recorded this just a couple of days ago. All right, Dirk White is with us with a remembrance of Harry Chartier. Dirk?
Yes, yes.
Have a solid memory of Harry?
Oh, more than one. Well, quite a few. Well,
maybe share one with us.
Well, you know, it's amazing. Harry never ceased to amaze me. And in an instance, we were doing a little weekend warrior thing, and we were tracking a water line underground. And we were doing fine, you know, because we had a metal detector, and it was then all of a sudden it must have gone to either plastic or some non-ferrous material. And Harry, being the Renaissance man that he was, says, well, you know, this presents a problem for most people. And he went over and grabbed a couple welding rods and, you know, bent the ends at a 90-degree angle, and two of them, and held them. And he starts zigzagging across the area. And son of a gun, I've seen photos of people witching for things, water and different things. And son of a gun, every time he crossed that water line, the two welding rods crossed each other. He goes, okay. And I'd mark it, and he'd zigzag back and forth, and you know, I'd mark every time he crossed it. So we were able to follow that water line to its end and then cap it off because we were having this leak, and took care of it. And it's like I said, the guy never ceased to amaze me in coming up with solutions or taking care of a problem. And normally you would think a simple manner, but here we are, just out of the blue. Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we get in, boom, 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 and we were done. Just amazing, absolutely amazing.
Great story.
Yep, yep, I'm going to miss him. Yep, quite a gentleman, and like I say, quite a Renaissance man in many, many ways. I always enjoyed the radio show, and was always... a lot of family memories with him as well, our kids and his kids, and doing things and having dinners and playing cards and just goofing around, and his dogs. Always a dog. Yeah.
Well, Dirk, I know you couldn't be with us for the Friday night show, but no. Thanks for coming in
advance streaming it, and I think. Recording. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. Thank you much.
Thank you, Ken.
And a tip of the country hat to you, Dirk. Well, Billy Bob Prendergast, you have another tale to tell.
Well, you know, not really a tale. I got a score to settle. I got, you know, Harry.
Who let him in here?
Harry used to, like...
How much does he owe you?
Well...
That's usually the score.
We got to wait until the IRS is all done with him. And that's going to be bad enough. But Harry would pick on me kind of unmercifully about my music. And there was one song he just... said publicly he did not like, but he actually liked it a lot. And this is for you, Harry. I love you, man, and I'm gonna miss you. Good night, Harry.
Be darn.
Don't you sound that like no Hank Williams song to me.
Well, you know, I didn't touch the fader. It just went down on its own, almost as if an invisible force were removing it from the air.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Harry's always going to be here, right here on Friday nights.
Well, there you
and
go.
There you go. Proof.
Things are coming up country.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Numbers Lady, you know what he used to play every Halloween? You know, we ain't talked about one memory. Every Halloween, Harry would come on and say, you know, there aren't any good country boo songs. So every Halloween, he'd have a special called a country boo-hoo show. You remember that?
I always made a request to the Boohoo show.
But you remember what the number one Boohoo song was? He always played it. Was said it was the best country Boohoo song ever made.
I'll bet we're going to hear it.
I think so. Skeeter Davis and the End of the World.
That's a Boohoo song for sure. We're going to play another tune right here before we hit the trail. And this one is for Susan and Tim.
Crazy. Grandpa, take me back to yesterday, when the line between right and wrong didn't seem so hazy. Did lovers really fall in love to stay? Stand beside each other, come what may. Promise really something people kept, not just something they would say. Families really bow their heads to pray. Daddies really never go away. Oh, oh, Grandpa, tell me about the good old days.
About the good old days.
not the good.